This is Karen Lyle of SalesPort Talk with a report from the LA SailGP race. I was here for the first race of the fourth season of SailGP. Residents of San Pedro had never seen the race, but knew the place on land as the Outer Harbor, the location where Circus Vargas and SpaceX had set up their events in the past. It took the SailGP team 2 weeks to set up the SailGP Village, the technical area, media center, and adrenaline lounge, and the bleachers near the Outer Harbor of San Pedro, where everything was in place before I arrived. Russell Coutts, co-founder of SailGP, and I coincidentally arrived at the same time at the badge area and said hello. The media operations staff were gracious in allowing myself and Marie Rogers to tour the technical area. In the pre-event press conference, I asked Ben Ainslie a question.
Ben, we had talked in San Francisco about the conditions of the changes of the currents and tides and how that plays a role in strategy and predicting where the wind might be. How is the field here in the Outer Harbor of San Pedro as far as what its particular challenges are or things that you might be able to use in strategy for the race?
Yeah, another great question. I mean, quite a different venue here in LA to San Francisco. San Francisco, much stronger currents that we're dealing with, like you said, which is a bit of a moving carpet. If you think of the current as a moving carpet and the boat's being pushed along by that carpet, and the wind then changes depending on which way that carpet's running. But here, not so much current, much flatter water as well, because we're protected by the breakwater. So in terms of getting closer to the optimum performance of the boats, we'll most likely do that, achieve that better here with the flatter waters. But it's a tighter race course, much tighter race course. So it's going to require a lot more maneuvering. You'd expect to see much more dynamic maneuvering from the boats here on this tight course that you perhaps wouldn't see on other race courses. So that's really going to test the teams to the maximum on that. Lots of unexpected maneuvers, no doubt. That will be the biggest challenge, I think, on this race course. Also, there are a few buildings around, so, you know, perhaps a little bit, wind's a little bit shiftier on certain sides of the course. So I think it'll be a very dynamic race course, I think, compared with San Francisco.
In the first day of the race, the bleachers were filled with locals. They cheered and sighed at the same time, creating a feeling of spectator camaraderie. Seeing it live is so much more interesting and exciting. Your eyes capture what interests you in the moment that it happens. A foil lifting out of the water on a tight turn. The crew leaping across the beam of the boat to get to the other side and pick up their controls. How close the boats are to each other when one boat covers another in a tight tack. Congratulations to SailGP LA winners in order from first to last. Spain, first. Rockwell, Denmark, second. Australia, third. Canada, fourth. United States, fifth. Emirates, Great Britain, 6th. New Zealand, 7th. France, 8th. Switzerland, 9th. Germany, 10th. These are true athletes and amazing sailors, and the competition is stiff. Congratulations to all SailGP teams for a great start to Season 4. This is Karen Lyle of SailSport Talk.
All right, thank you for that, and welcome back to the program. Rick Tittle with you, coast to coast, around the world on American Forces Radio Network. You hear the crisscross music, applesauce. That means it's 9:40 on a Tuesday, and we check in with SailSportsTalk.com. And normally co-hosting this segment is Karen Lyle with me, and today's no different, and she's in studio with us, as you can see in the Twitch.com cameras. How you doing, Cameron?
I'm doing great.
Camera? Karen.
It is good to see you in person.
Can I call you Camera?
No. Not okay. Unless I can call you Boom Mike.
Oh, okay. I like that.
You like that? Yeah. I'll be Camera, you'll be Boom Mike?
Boom Boom Tittle? Let's do it. All right, we're waiting on our guest, and when we get him, we'll throw him on the air. But for you, what's new in the world of sailing? A very general question throwing at you.
Well, the America's Cup preliminary race is coming up in September. And actually, we have the Clipper race starting, the SailGP and the America's Cup all happening within train distance of each other. You know, Spain will be where, near Barcelona will be where the America's Cup preliminary. And I've been invited to be accredited media, and I'm kind of looking into, you know, whether I might go and check it out. It's going to be in September. It's actually 4 weeks from now.
Wow.
We'll see.
Is it true you got to get a visa now to go to Europe?
No, I don't think I've had to have one when I went.
They were talking, maybe they're just talking about it.
Yeah. I didn't have to do a visa for I don't think I had to do any visas when I went there.
Yeah, I remember in the 80s, if I went to Eastern Bloc countries, they made you get a visa and all that.
Yeah, I'm Tanzania, yeah. For that. I've got several of those in my passport.
What were you doing in Tanzania?
In Doha, in Qatar.
I could see that.
Yeah.
Oh, you don't say Qatar?
Qatar. Well, it depends upon where you are. If I'm in Los Angeles, I'm going to say Qatar, or even the people who work in Qatar Airlines will not know what I'm talking about. Because if I say Qatar, they'll go, what?
Who says Qatar? The people who live there?
Yes, yes.
They say Qatar.
Yeah. Well, it's Qatar. There's a little glottal, you know, Qatar. I can't say it exactly right. I when I'm around it, I pick it up. So I change my pronunciation as I travel around the world to be understood.
So it's a country of people who don't go to class.
Qatar. Actually, the first time I went there was a guest of Qatar Airways, and so they gave me the tour of the private parts of the airport, and I went business class from Los Angeles to, and then they put me up in a 5-star hotel.
Wow! Did you have the seat? Have you ever had the seat where you lay down on the plane?
Yes.
Oh,
yes. So that was, and my own personal stewardess, and
what?
And then when I went again, because I would do tours, I was a wholesale. I am a wholesale tour operator in Tanzania, and so we go through Doha.
How did that happen?
Sailing, actually.
Well, I'm a
it happened sailing.
Really?
Yes, it did. And so when Preston comes, let me know when Preston comes on.
But
I'll tell you that story. I was sailing in the British Virgin Islands, and it was, somewhere around 2015 or somewhere along there. And there was this little guest house on Beef Island, and we turned the boat in, and we were staying there. It had four rooms in it. And one of the people in the rooms was a Frenchman who had been the former operations manager for all the properties along the Great Migration in Tanzania.
Mm-hmm.
And we talked for 5 minutes. He said, I'm going to be coming to the United States. Maybe I'll look you up. And I said, well, if you come to San Francisco, I'll take you sailing. He said, really? Okay. So then a little while later, a month, he called and he says, I'm coming into San Francisco. Were you serious about that sailing? And I said, you bet.
Wow.
And so I took him sailing, and we were talking, and it turned out that the owner of the company that he had was actually somebody who his partner had hunted in Tanzania with my cousin.
Story, and we'll get the rest of it later, but we want to bring in our guest now, Preston Anderson, who was a 2021 inductee into the Intercollegiate Sailing Association Hall of Fame. Preston, Rick Tuttle and Karen Lyle with you here. Nice to have you on the show. How are you already in the Hall of Fame when you're not 60 years old? How does that happen?
Thanks for having me on. It's funny. There's different ways you can get into the College Sailing Hall of Fame. One being by racing and one by service. And I did mine by service. There are a few different service awards for college sailing. One of them being a student leadership award. You can get inducted to the College Sailing Hall of Fame by being by doing a lot of service. And I did a lot of diversity inclusion work. And I was on the board of directors for a year for the Intercollegiate Sailing Association. And I was honored with the Jim Rumineer Student Leadership Award, which by winning that award, I was inducted into the College Sailing Hall of Fame after my junior year of college.
Well, Preston, it's so good to be talking to you here, and we just saw each other down at SailGP and Marie Rogers,
yes.
And we all had a meal together and chatted. But tell me, when you were in college, what team did you sail for? Did you do some racing there?
Yeah, so I went to Bowdoin College for undergraduate, and I sailed there from the fall of 2018 to the spring of 2022. I would like to say that I sailed all 4 years, but COVID had other plans. But no, it was a phenomenal experience. I had amazing coaches and the team was just absolutely phenomenal. So I love my experience sailing in college.
Can you tell me a little bit of a thumbnail on Brunswick, Maine?
Yeah, it's a very small, very cute town. It's about 30 minutes north of Portland, Maine, and it's about 2 hours, I would say about 2 hours from Boston. It's a gorgeous area. It's right on the coast. We sailed in Harpswell, which was about 20 minutes away from campus. on Oars Island. And that was just, it was just being up there is quiet, is just very scenic. So it was an amazing time up there.
Well, one of the things about the ICSA is that college teams and sailing clubs that are part of, that are associated with colleges, get to race against each other. Who are some of the teams that you've raced against?
We sailed in the New England Intercollegiate Sailing Association Conference. So the schools that we race against were Harvard, Yale, Brown, Dartmouth, Vermont, University of Rhode Island, Roger Williams, Bates, Maine Maritime. So mainly the schools within the New England region. And then we had a few intersectionals. So some of the teams that we'd face in the intersectionals would be like, you'd see like a Stanford or Georgetown or George Washington. So a lot of schools would come up to New England to race. And we would go down to the Mid-Atlantic as well, but we mainly race in the New England region.
I'm interested in your choice of Bowdoin, because you have one president, Franklin Pierce, you have Henry Wadsworth Longfellow, and then you have Preston Anderson. It's kind of those three. But what was it about that small liberal arts school that was just right for you?
I think when I was looking at schools, I really liked that small school environment. So I've always gone to fairly small schools. I was actually a founding class member at my high school. It was called Beacon Academy. It was located in Evanston, Illinois, just down the street from Northwestern. And, you know, there were only 40 people in my class. And I really liked that small, intimate feel of a school environment. And when I was looking at colleges, Bowdoin, you know, offered everything that I wanted. It had a great school, great academics, great, you know, student atmosphere. They didn't prioritize sailing, but they had a sailing team, which was a bonus. And I was able to walk on the team my freshman year. And it was just offered everything that, you know, I wanted to take advantage of.
Preston, what's your favorite boat to sail on? Because you've had an opportunity to sail on a few.
I would say that my favorite boat would be probably, that's hard.
You can pick more than one. Just start with the first one that comes to mind.
I would say probably something like just recreationally, just sailing a cat. I really like just being able to, you know, have fun with friends and sail around and trap. And I think catamarans are just a blast to sail, just having fun. Racing wise, I think I'm really into the snipe class. I'm in grad school at Georgetown, and I've been able to take advantage of sailing snipes in Annapolis, Maryland. They have a really great fleet out in Annapolis. It's just a really competitive, but a really great fleet of people as well within the Annapolis snipe fleet.
You know, I was wondering, I had the former Stanford sailing coach, a guy named John Vandermore, on the team, and he wrote a book about the Varsity Blues scandal. He basically just took a phone call, said yes, hung up, didn't do his due diligence, and he was embroiled in all this. Did that, in your mind, affect college sailing in any adverse way, or is that kind of just sort of isolated in Palo Alto?
It's tricky. I remember when that happened. I was a student at the time. And, you know, I think it definitely hurt the perception of college sailing. I think that, you know, you can look at the stereotypes of sailing and say, like, you know, it's a white privilege, a very privileged sport. And, you know, you have in that scenario, you had very wealthy individuals trying to buy their way into school. But I think that, you know, what we were trying to do with college sailing around, I guess it was around that time, it was after, where, you know, there was a huge reckoning across the country, where, you know, you had this moment with George Floyd, and you had there were a lot of questions about, like, you know, diversity and inclusion, and how do you make the sport better. And I think we really came together as a sport in a community in that, in the wake of that event, and really tried to focus on ways that we can make the sport more diverse and inclusive. Because we were, and I'm speaking really genuinely here. You know, I am an African American and I grew up sailing in this sport and I love the community, but it definitely gets a really bad rap sometimes for being this white, privileged, wealthy sport, and that it's not inclusive. And we want to show that, you know, the sport is trying to be more inclusive.
Well, and just giving a shout out to U.S. Sailing, you're on the DEI committee with them. What do you see as the goals at the national level? Because that's the Olympic, governing body.
Right. I think that, you know, while U.S. Sailing is our national governing body and they oversee the Olympics, I think one of the big goals that, you know, we're trying to do with the DEI committee is get the word out there that we want to bring people into our clubs. And we want to bring people into our sport because this is a really great community. I honestly have met some of my best friends through the sport. And it's, you know, how do you create messaging out there to just show people that, you know, this isn't an exclusive sport. There are ways to get in and, you know, how do you get clubs to like advertise to different groups? Just, and how do you get people from different backgrounds into coming to the club? So I think that, you know, there's a twofold problem there, but, you know, it's something that we're trying to solve, and we're trying to work with a bunch of different entities to be able to achieve our goals.
There he is, Preston Anderson, Pride of Bowdoin College. Thanks, and have fun at Georgetown, man. What a great school.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Preston.
And Karen Lyle, always great to have you on the show and for coming in today. Thanks for coming in.
Well, you know, this is my place too.
That's right. She don't need no invitation. She got the key.
That's right.
SailSportsTalk.com. Check it out. I'm Rick Tittle. Come on back.